This is Christopher Daniels, and the gospel, according to the fallen angel, says that you are listening to the WTR Sunday night.
Hey there, guys. Sorry I couldn't be there in person, but, you know, as a couple of you guys might have heard, I has a job! Yay, me! The unfortunate thing is going to be I'm no longer be able to join you guys on WTR. Aww. It's a real shame, to be honest, because it was fun sitting around talking wrestling with you guys every week. So, just quickly, I want to thank Tim for letting me on the show to begin with, and the rest of you for putting up with my accent for so goddamn long. With that says, if the stars align and I get a Monday off, because remember the time differences, I'll be sure to call in and we can talk wrestling again. Till then, I have one last thing to say. I don't have to cover TNA pay-per-views anymore! Yes!
This is Booker T. Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede 15 Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your hosts.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Jim Stein.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Spug.
This is kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
And the Omega.
We are the
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play. Say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few
moments.
I came to play. Get my dues paid. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be stayed.
I came to play.
There's a price to pay.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And this is going to be a strange night here on the show. First off, we're very sad to see Mace go. Hopefully we'll be able to chat with him again at some point down the future. But until then, we wish him the best in his future endeavors. And unfortunately, Spug is not answering on Skype and apparently he has strep throat anyway, so it's just myself, the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network, and the guy who owns the network, Tim Stein.
That would be me, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not me, so it would have to be you.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to an edition of WTR Sunday Night that I haven't seen happen for fucking ever. When I say that, Omega, I mean... And no disrespect to absolutely everybody who's chipped in to make it a combined show over the millennia, as it were. But it's been a long fucking time since this was just two co-hosts.
Yeah, this is a little odd. I mean, I know it has come to pass at some point before, especially when it's just you, me, and Spug. But you and me have carried a show on our own once in a while. But it has been a damn long time since then.
2008, I believe, was the last time I had to worry about it.
Sheesh.
Oh, well. Hey, Omega, did you watch wrestling this past week?
Believe it or not, yes. I actually did watch wrestling.
I watched Raw, but I didn't get a chance to watch SmackDown because my son takes precedence. And I hung out with him on Friday. And as you know, I've got a boycott on TNA until they actually produce a show that's watchable.
My God, how many years has that been going?
Since they started sucking, so a long time. A lot of years.
Ish.
Yeah. And, of course, you can't watch Superstars because WGN canceled the shit. I guess they couldn't handle the fact that the ratings were lower than Impact.
mean, come on. How could you fail with stars like Yoshitatsu?
I mean, come on. Yoshi's a good worker, man. I'd hire him. pay him $100 a show.
Yeah, but when that's your main event, yeah, it's time to cut the show loose.
Hey, what about Zack Ryder? Wiki!
I'm sorry. He ditched the one leg thing, which was the only thing making him stand out, aside from a horrible theme song.
Oh, radio.
Ooh, yeah, we can't torture Mace with that anymore, can we?
No, Mace, yeah, you know, I'm not going to miss him. I'm glad he's off the show, Omega. No, really, I'm glad he's off the show. I mean, Jesus Christ, him talking in monotone, going on forever and ever, not following the format that is set out, not letting me lead the show, always fucking name drop, and calling wrestlers by their real names.
Tim. That's
what?
Alan.
Oh! Well, I'm glad Alan's not here. I'm going to miss Mace. Just in case Alan listens to the archive. Alan, I'm kidding. Remember, picking on you is the sincerest form of Omega. Hatred. Help me out. Help me out, Omega. We don't hate Alan. Come on now. His name is not Nick.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And
it's called flattery, Tim. I know it's not a word you're accustomed to, so I'll teach it to you later.
Flatter. Sorry, choking on it. Nope, can't do it.
No,
can't do it. You know what? I there's no reason to talk about wrestling. Nothing really happened. I got a better idea. Why don't we pretend this is an abbreviated version of Otaku Talk Live, and actually talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars, really?
Yeah. I hear they're doing doing some kind of porno remake for Hustler TV. I think they're gonna call it This Ain't Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's so original.
Yeah, well, it goes along the line with, along the lines of all their other shows that they do. The porno shows, like for instance, This Isn't Happy Days, This Ain't Star Trek, This Ain't Welcome Back Cotter. And it's just a bunch of people having sex.
Wait.
People having sex? What?
Welcome back, Cotter.
What? Welcome back, Cotter.
I'm not being mean, but there was one female on that whole damn show.
Yeah, well, she was the town bicycle. Everybody had a turn. The one thing about the Welcome Back, Cotter parody, you could tell that it was set in the 70s. All the penises had sideburns.
Wait, why talking porn on Wrestle Talk Radio?
Hi, Spug! Can you turn your mic up or something?
It is up.
Oh.
I'm sorry yet you got strep throat, dude.
Strep throat sucks.
Yeah. But anyway, back to what we were talking about, Omega, when Spug finally joined us. Yeah, looks like I got a list in front of me of all the characters that are gonna be in This Ain't Star Wars.
They're doing a Star Wars porno parody.
Yeah, the dashing hero is Hand Solo. And, the damsel in distress is Princess Lamy Orgasmia. They've got a robot called Seaman Creepio. Hand Solo's co-pilot is Chewbuttfucka.
And
There's another robot called R2-Deep, or R2-DP, as in double penetration, depending on how you read it.
I know what DP means.
We're adults here. We know.
And the bad guy's named Darth Gaydar. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, it's not just Hollywood that's out of ideas at this point, is it?
No.
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 Yeah, creep. We just declare creativity dead.
Yeah, it's Silicon Peaks. I guess you could call the porn industry in California. You got Silicon Valley that, you know, makes the microchips and stuff like that for the computers. And the porn industry, I guess all of their movies take place in Silicon Peaks.
But can we talk about wrestling now, for real?
Well, we did just before you came on. We covered the entire week in like 30 seconds. You missed it, dude.
Could we talk more about wrestling?
stopping to light a cigarette while we change gears and actually do the show for real and talk about wrestling. Officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Saturday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for hanging in. We are starting an hour late to accommodate the Spug guy who actually finally showed up. Spug, you're late. I guess it was a family issues with Madison having a bit of the strep and giving it to you and stuff.
Yeah, there was just a bunch of shit going on at my house. My internet decided it hated people.
Oh,
for a while.
So it was being antisocial.
Yeah, yeah, it was being like a Gothopotamus.
Gothopotamus.
Oh God.
Okay, is that another OTL thing that you guys do? Wednesday nights at 9 Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network?
No, that was just a picture he showed to torture us.
Oh, okay.
The Gothopotamus.
The Gothopotamus. Jersey Girl is asking if Lita is in the Star Wars porno. Well, of course she is. She stars as Princess Leia Organa. I thought that you would have picked up on that one before I had to go there, Omega. What happened?
I'm a little disconnected tonight, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well,
I'm opening up Cadbury cream eggs.
Mm. Oh, you're not disconnected.
Gross, dude. Gross. Those things are nasty.
You know what's even nastier? He's talking about Cadbury cream eggs right after we talked about porno coming out of Hollywood.
Could be worse.
Just saying. Cream, eggs, porno. Anyway. Getting into
old man.
There you go. Okay, you guys, you caught Monday Night Law. Monday Night Law. Yes, Monday Night Law is locking. Monday Night Raw last Monday night, correct?
I saw part of it.
Okay. You guys caught Grandmaster Sexy Brian Christopher showing up?
No.
Yep. Brian Christopher makes an appearance after how many years, and he does his little Brian Christopher dance to the Too Cool intro music.
I heard nobody popped for him.
He got absolutely no pops at all whatsoever. Okay, well, I shouldn't say none whatsoever. There were a couple, but the rest of the crowd was absolutely dead. Wasn't that because Brian Christopher sucks? I mean, well, okay, maybe that's part of the reason. But no,
the reason was because everyone in the crowd was going, is he the guy that did the worm?
Yeah, he was one of the very lesser-known members of the Attitude Era. I mean, if you're going to bring somebody back from the Attitude Era, the least you could do is find somebody who's transcended. Oh, wait, you did. He was Stone Cold Steve Austin the week before. Brian Christopher coming out to rag on Daddy, Jerry the King Lawler, thanks to Michael Cole.
He came out on Cole's side?
Yeah, he came out on Cole's side.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Well, that's not too much of a surprise. And, you know, he's giving it to Jerry. The one thing I noticed, Omega, we can't talk to Spug about this because he didn't see it, but the one thing I noticed is that now that he's old, fat, slow, and looks a little bit like Dustin Runnels' evil doppelganger.
That's the first thing that I said, a friend of mine said, that was the first thought. He looks like an anorexic Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, what the hell? But the one thing that I pointed out was, holy fuck, is he ever starting to sound like Jerry now?
Well, when the camera would zoom in on him and you could start to see the lines in his face, then it's like, oh, it looked like he had morphed into Lawler's twin. Like, yep. he really started to take on Daddy's looks.
Oh, yeah, especially with the fat on the face. I mean, you know, gaining a little bit of weight in his older age, as it were. But you have to admit, for those of us who do remember the Attitude Era, having Too Cool come out with Rikishi, now that was cool, especially after the matches were over, and Too Cool would spend 45 seconds convincing Rikishi that he had to dance.
Oh, I popped when they brought out the shades for him to put on.
Yeah. And then Rikishi would just get like right into it, and it was really funny watching a sumo wrestler actually able to dance. And he did it better than Scotty Too Hotty and Brian Christopher, Grandmaster Sexy.
Those sumo wrestlers can move, man.
Well, have you seen that Subaru commercial that's on TV nowadays? Or do you guys get that down in the States?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, well, the tagline, the end of the commercial, I'm going to tell you that one first. The end of the commercial says, sexy is back. You know, Subaru. Okay, now the commercial, you might have seen this one. Okay, well, the commercial begins, in case you haven't seen it, with a bunch of sumo wrestlers, you know, in their gis and their, or whatever it's called. And they're washing cars and doing all of the sexy model stuff with the soapy water, you know, squeezing the sponge.
Okay, I've seen that.
Okay, yeah. So.
By the way, for the record, it is not a sumo diaper, it's a muwashi.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a muwashi, yeah. Is that what they say when they're done using it? Wash me!
Oh, you're funny.
I was just wondering, that's all.
Good
old Rock, he finds the picture. Nice going, Rock.
You know, Omega nerd rages is about certain things. Making fun of sumo, I will nerd rage about.
I wasn't making fun of sumo. I was making fun of the commercial. There's a bit of a difference.
Commercial is a little bit disturbing, though they did have bigger tits than most of the girls I see washing cars.
There you go. Yeah, I was waiting for you to bring that one up. But the second thing I noticed about Brian Christopher, how out of fucking breath was he the entire time he was giving it to his old man?
All he did, Tim?
He, what?
Can we rephrase the sentence, giving it to his old man?
Thank you for keeping with the porno themes, Bug. Yeah, no, geez. That's not what I meant in the least bit. Giving his old man the gears. How's that? Can we say that? Giving his old man the gears. Shooting on daddy. Yeah.
Oh, that's even worse. It's even worse.
Yeah, shooting on daddy's a little worse.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know where you go with that.
Well, you know, this show hasn't gone off the rails because it never got on the rails to begin with tonight.
How'd you spend your Monday night, Brian? Oh, I was giving it to my old man.
Yeah, shooting on daddy. Oh. Breathing hard the whole time.
So horrible.
But how? Okay, let's see if we can rephrase this and not make it like something that Spud could pick up as a sexual innuendo. That means you got to turn on your gaydar, of course. How blown up was Brian Christopher?
Again?
No, not blown up.
I said blown up, not blown or blowing. How blown up was Brian Christopher when he was cutting promos on Jerry? There you go.
Bravo, sir. I knew you could do it.
Here you go.
You know, when the Warrior charges out to the ring and does, you know, 10 pre-match laps around it, I can understand him being gassed. But when you've been doing when you get gassed doing the same dance you've been doing since 1998,
mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing.
You think he does that dance in the clubs for the ladies?
Only if they pay him $150 and the autograph is included. So far, in 10 years, he's made a grand total of $75. Somebody was disappointed and demanded half their money back.
Yes, thank you, Tim.
I demand all my money back.
There you go. What, you know, like keeping on the same track with Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler at WrestleMania. What do you guys think about how WWE has handled the story and gotten Michael Cole over as a heel?
Tries too hard.
Omega?
I would pretty much agree with that. Michael Cole is textbook over actor at this point. You know, you could tell everything about it is just really, really forced. And, you know, it's trying to get a storyline across here.
Yeah.
But when it's being completely led by someone like Cole, it honestly doesn't work. I mean, it's, He's just a loud, annoying dick. You know, there isn't a rhyme or reason to it. There isn't anything in me that wants to see him be a dick.
Note to staff, if you ever talk to WWE personalities again, never ask if somebody has the wrong kind of heat.
Why?
Yeah, that usually doesn't go well.
Yeah, you're going to get the same answer that Lawler gave you on OWW Radio a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, your point.
Never mind, Spud. Go back to sleep.
Dude, I don't really give a shit. The Lawler interview pissed me off.
Yeah. Well, taking a look at it, JR showed up to get involved in this. Getting on the microphone and giving Cole what for, and then taking his jacket off after Cole calls him chicken, only to have Jack Swagger come in and throw the ankle lock on him. What do you think of JR coming back in that fashion and doing the job, as it were, to put the storyline over as much as he could, Omega?
Well. I don't know. I feel bad for him because apparently he actually had his ankle and knee torn up quite a bit because, you know, Cole doesn't know how to put on a fucking ankle lock.
Well, I've got a question about that coming up in just a little bit. But Spug, did you catch any part of this at all?
I saw the ankle lock from Cole.
Okay.
The thing. You know a storyline is dead in the water when you have to call in JR to help you sell it.
Yeah.
Well, you do know it's inevitable in that feud, though.
Well, that's not... But you could have done it way earlier than they did do it. The problem is that the storyline isn't getting over.
You're thinking that it smells too much like desperation because they took too long to bring JR out?
Well, they took too long. I mean, the confrontations have all been one-sided, right?
Yeah.
It's all been Cole verbally or in some way physically abusing Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
You haven't had any retribution from Lawler on Michael Cole.
You're technically not allowed to, because the stipulation from the general manager is if Lawler touches Cole before WrestleMania, Lawler gets fired.
Okay, but here's the thing. You're gonna lose, people are losing interest in the storyline, because even with, alright, I'll go back to Batista Triple H, alright?
Yeah.
Triple H was the main orchestrator of that storyline coming out of the Royal Rumble. Notice the two of them never touched up until the Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania. And even then, the confrontation was minimal. It was, what, a single powerbomb?
Uh-huh.
Just one? And it was a really good storyline leading up. You have to have a small amount of retribution on the faces part, or else... It just looks like a complete and utter squash in many aspects. Now, granted, Lawler's probably going to beat the piss out of him at Mania. We all know that.
Well, you also know that Swagger's going to be involved, too.
Right. But the thing is that Lawler can't touch Cole on Raw, correct?
Yeah.
Is that he can't touch him on Raw.
Yep. No, I think I know where you're going with this one, so.
Cole... is an announcer on SmackDown.
Yep.
Have Lawler jump Cole on SmackDown. You're not breaking the rule. You're not touching him on Raw. You can't get fired.
Yeah, and well, you know that we would hear Cole whining about that too. And so that adds to it right there.
That adds to the storyline.
You put your hands on me, you should be fired. Well, we were on Raw, you dumbass.
That adds to the storyline. It gives another element. It because then it gives an area of retribution for the face.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, good point, Rush. The problem with Lawler showing up on SmackDown is like he dates the 21-year-olds on Tuesdays, so you know it might be hard to get him to a SmackDown taping.
Valid point, but still. Or you have Lawler do it at the hotel before Raw.
Yeah.
You know, have the film crew there.
Yeah. But Wrestling Fanatic does have a point in chat room. He says that people aren't going to pay to see Lawler beat up Cole if they see it on Raw every week before Mania. I mean, there is a valid point to that.
I'm not saying you do it every week on Mania.
Yeah.
Or every week on Raw. Only need to do it once or twice.
Now the question is, when do you do it? Do you do it this upcoming week, or do you do it on the go home shows before, like the week before WrestleMania?
Well, the perfect spot to do it the first time would have been the Monday night after the Elimination Chamber, when Cole was talking, when Cole, you know, was really laying into Jerry, and I believe that was when the match was announced. Was that night?
Uh-huh.
That would have been the perfect night to do it the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. When he issued the challenge, that night would have been the perfect night to do it the first time.
Yeah.
And the whole Raw general manager thing, I'm really getting, it's getting old because it's the problem with the general manager, like Teddy Long, right, on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He's fairly benevolent in that he does things to favor both sides from time to time. He's not heel or face.
Mm-hmm.
The Raw general manager just seems entirely, you know, made up in heel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would almost be better at this point if Cole came out and said, I'm the Raw general manager.
I started thinking about that. You know, what if it turns out the way they're going with this, it's Cole the entire time feeding a bunch of bullshit. The only thing is, what about when Jerry's reading the emails after Cole's, running away? That's the only thing, right? So that throws a wrench into that work. And if they do go there, then I'd have to call bullshit.
Oof.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying there?
The whole GM thing has gone on for so long, though. I mean, they need to hurry up and pick somebody. Because the longer they draw it out, the less people it's going to be possible to be the GM.
Well, you know, they've drawn it out for so long. I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking they still have no fucking clue what they're doing. You know that this anonymous GM was initially pretty much an emergency idea after Brett was no longer able to show up on Raw, you know, as the acting general manager.
Right.
So. And I think that they initially had some kind of idea, but probably flip-flopped a couple times too many and totally lost direction of it. At least that's what I'm feeling right now anyway.
Yeah, because the original idea was it was supposed to be the vehicle for getting Triple H back on the show.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't occur.
It still may at some point.
It still may at some point, but it's getting more and more likely. I mean, like I said, the longer this goes, the less people it could possibly be. I mean, because we've seen most of the roster in that ring right now while the GM has been speaking. It'd have to be someone at this point who is well known but was still off camera most of the time. You know,
well,
Vinnie Mac.
Sorry. Vince McMahon himself? No, that wouldn't work.
Vinny Mac's never been on TV while the general manager was talking.
Yeah, but his storyline-wise, Vinny Mac was in a coma for a little while thanks to Nexus, if you remember. And they kept that up.
I don't know. That seems more out of character for Vince.
Yeah, I can't see it being Vinny. Really, seriously, who could it possibly be? You see all these guys from Attitude Era coming back. And if you're going to stick in that vein, then it's going to have to be somebody from the Attitude Era. But who's available? Or who could be available? Or who could it possibly be that had enough stroke back in the late 90s, early part of the 2000s?
Well, the other problem is, you've had the GM flip-flopping between, sometimes he has heel tendencies, sometimes he has face tendencies.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a general do-all, just for anything they need explained on Raw.
Yeah.
But it's going in so many different directions that, honestly, unless it's like a Mick Foley and you're talking about all the personalities in his head GMing at the same time, that's the only way you explain how many directions, the GM's thought process is in.
Yeah, but I can't see it being Foley because he's too busy dicking around with TNA, which we will make fun of, talk about later.
Oh, goody.
So, yeah, but I've lost interest in who the mystery GM is. I lost interest back around the end of January. I'm like, fuck, whatever, just get on with it. I've had enough. You drew it out and you drew it out. You had me in, thinking it was really a bunch of balls when it first started. Then you drew me in and I got a little bit hooked, wondering, well, who the fuck can it be? Who the fuck can it be? And then you drew it out and I'm just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. The phrase "strike while the iron's hot" springs to mind.
Yeah, while the thing is no longer hot, it ain't gonna brand a piece of lint, never mind the cattle. So. But, right before we go to break, according, the Honky Tonk Man, who is absolutely a font for, truth in advertising, Jimmy Hart is supposed to be involved in the angle as Jerry the King Lawler's special guest manager for the match at WrestleMania. Oh, Spug?
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't care.
Omega?
I don't.
Okay.
Kind of pointless. I think if you throw any more favors toward Cole, it'll diminish the favor of Austin. Because okay. that was the whole point. Because the whole thing was supposed to be so stacked against Lawler that there's no way that he could beat Michael Cole. And now all of a sudden, Austin sticks his nose into it. That's the hero moment. You don't want to lose that by throwing in something else at the last minute.
That's going to be the payoff for that match right there, is having Austin as the rep. Because somebody's getting their ass thundered.
It'll be Swagger.
I was about to say, question is he going to step in if Swagger does something?
Well, but he's the guest referee. He doesn't even have to step in. He'll just fucking do it.
And you know what? This, I would absolutely love it. Just for the cheap pop. And I would quite possibly seriously consider booking it this way, just for the cheap pop. Let Lawler come out, let Cole come out with Swagger, and then announce the special guest referee, break the glass, hit the music, out comes Stone Cold, and he walks right up to Cole and Swagger in the ring, and doesn't say anything, just stares at him, makes like he's about to turn away, then stunners Swagger, right there. Like, right at the beginning, right even before the match starts.
I'd love that, except I'd rather have Austin in the ring first. Just so he can just sit there and brood and pretend like he's actually playing the straight up ref, and then out of nowhere, boom, Swagger's stunned.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably a better way to go. Yeah, exactly. So he can, like, pace back and forth like the caged tiger he reminds me of when he's waiting for his opponent to come out when he was still wrestling.
Oh, that's going to be fun to watch. Just for this look on Michael Cole's, just for the crap his pants moment when he just realizes he's all alone now.
But the thing about that is, that's just the problem. Because who's going to buy that Michael Cole could spend more than 30 seconds in the ring with Jerry Lawler? Really?
Well, see, I keep comparing this match to Vince versus Brett. I mean, it's the, you know you're not going to see a whole lot of actual wrestling in this match in the least, but yeah. it's a satisfaction for the fans, you know. It doesn't have to be a real wrestling match. It's more of a crowd pleaser. I mean, you talk about Too Cool and Rikishi, the crowd would pop. Think, if they do a dance contest on WWE now, everyone falls asleep, everyone cries bullshit. You build it up right. It's a big piece of satisfaction when you got to see it, Rikishi dance, because it was built right. It's a crowd satisfaction.
But at the same time, if you have Stone Cold Stunner Swagger to get him out of the way at the beginning of the match, you got to leave Stunner at the side of the ring to regain his wits and at least partially interfere. Or that's a total clusterfuck right there.
Oh yeah, well yeah, he'll roll out of the ring, he'll gum up and grab the ankle, you know, the usual heel tactic.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, I think it's time we take our first time out of the night, everybody. You'll listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in with us starting an hour later. Don't go anywhere. We got a whole lot more coming your way right after this quick little time out. We'll be back.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
The night where boyhood dreams come true.
Wait a minute! Michael Shipp, he got it! He got all of it! Michael's got all of it! Michael's got it covered! One, two, three!
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels!
The night where new eras are born.
Michael's going for another chip. Awesome. He got it. The Stunner. Mike Tyson in. Alternate champion. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. Stone Cold.
The night where the torches are passed.
He's holding it up, Jets. Why, he is the greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's
this year at WrestleMania. Find out the night before the granddaddy of them all on WrestleTalk Radio on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, Rock. We haven't been properly introduced. I'm The Miz, the WWE Champion and star of WrestleMania. You, on the other hand, are only the host of WrestleMania. So you should know your role and be the best Ryan Seacrest that you can be.
Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Hey, you, go, Wild Talk. Wild Talk. You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go. Bye-bye.
you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Before we get into the next segment, I don't want people thinking that we're being callous and thoughtless and all that other wonderful junk. I want to, on behalf of everybody here on the Wild Talk Radio Network who talk about wrestling on a on an ongoing regular basis, offer our condolences to the family of John Sutton. Now, some of you might remember John Sutton a little bit better by his alter ego, as it were, that Sir Oliver Humperdinck has unfortunately passed away the other day. Humperdinck worked as a wrestling manager for Jim Crockett Promotions, Florida Championship Wrestling, World Wrestling Federation, and World Championship Wrestling in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. He managed the likes of Greg Valentine, Paul Jones, the One Man Gang in the early 80s for Jim Crockett Promotions before being offered a contract by the WWF in 1987 and managing Bam Bam Bigelow and Paul Orndorff. He returned to the NWA in 1988, managing the new Wild Samoans and the Tonga Kid, along with Salofa Fatu and Samu, and was reunited with Bam Bam Bigelow one last time in his feud against Barry Windham. Humperdinck's final run came in the early 90s when he signed for WCW under the biker gimmick Big Daddy Dink. He managed the Fabulous Freebirds before retiring in 1993, unhappy with his gimmick and the direction of WCW. In recent years, Humperdinck had a pacemaker fitted, but continued to suffer from heart problems, which led to a bad case of pneumonia. In early 2011, it was announced that Humperdinck was suffering from cancer, and surgery to remove the cancer no longer became an option. Humperdinck made the decision to enter hospice care rather than undergo chemotherapy. We send out our deepest condolences and all of our thoughts and prayers to Sir Oliver Humperdinck's family and his friends.
He was on OWW a while ago.
How long ago?
About a year ago.
Okay. That was an episode I apparently missed, but
it was right before. It was like a week or so before the 50th episode. You know.
Ah. Okay. Okay. Well, that's the old OWW radio, not the new OWW radio. Yeah. So it's a tragic thing. It's a sad thing, and. That being said, I think it's time to move on and get back to some semblance of the format that we have going on. Coming back from the break, we heard The Rock's music. We're not talking about The Rock, though. We're going to be talking about The Miz. Omega, did you smell what The Miz was cooking last Monday night?
I was smelling it.
You mean one night in Cena?
Not at first. Well,
one night in Cena? Oh, God. Spud, did you see this on Raw?
Oh, I saw the end.
Okay, where he came up, the Rock's music hit, and out come the bald guy with the glasses, but it was The Miz.
We talked about it on OWW. They could have put some sort of, like, fake tattoo together. Put on The Miz, because quite honestly, he was a dead ringer for The Rock until you saw that he didn't have any tattoos.
So the tattoos would have just added the seasoning, if you will.
If they could have found a way to put the tattoos on him, and I'm sure they could have, the tattoos would have done the trick, and that would have gotten over a hell a lot better, because people would have been buying in right up until the moment Miz started beating on Cena.
Yeah. Well, you know, his build, he's what, a foot shorter than The Rock?
Yeah, but where you're sitting at in the arena, you know.
Well, yeah, maybe 10 inches shorter, but proportionately, I mean, I never noticed it before until they came out with The Rock's shirt on with the skull cap. Proportionately, his arms are pretty much just as big.
He's about the same size, yeah.
Yeah. So, now, okay, I'm looking at what Wrestling Fanatic in the chat room is saying. And by the way, hey, Wrestling Fanatic, good to see you again. He's saying that The Miz is dull. He did a decent promo, but, he's a little too monotone. Omega, what do you think about The Miz as the heel? And is he dull?
The Miz is my absolute favorite thing to watch on WWE right now.
I don't find him dull. I think there's a subtlety that you might miss if you're not really getting into his character. And I think that The Miz has nailed that subtlety. And I have to say I'm pleasantly surprised at his ability to come across as, you know, the jackass he's coming across as.
Oh yeah.
I like The Miz. Mm-hmm. At first I didn't.
Yeah.
The thing about him that people I don't think get is you have to look at the Chris Jericho type heel. Chris Jericho did the same thing.
Yeah.
His tone of voice was very low. I think Miz does one thing that most wrestling fans aren't used to. He actually enunciates his words. So, he really does know how to cut a good promo, and he is a good heel. And if you want to hear monotone, just listen to Alan.
Second, Alan ribbed a night.
Your turn, Omega, and I don't mean ribbing Alan, I mean carry on.
Well, when you have the Miz, what he did on Monday night coming out as The Rock, I mean, you could talk about trying to, you know, add some tattoos, which is exactly, you know, which would have made him a dead ringer, because he had the crowd going for a lot longer than, you know, the fakes usually do. Uh-huh. You know, when someone comes out dressed as one of the wrestlers, oh, hey, I'm pretending to be this guy. And he had them pulled along for quite a while. But I almost think that's the kind of thing you don't go too far, because you want the audience to have a sense of betrayal. Yeah, like you want them to catch on. So they uh-huh. have that feeling of, oh, yeah, it's the Rock. Oh, no. Ah. You want them to have that kind of twist in emotion. You don't want them to, you know, you don't want to have them think that, you know, The Rock makes it all the way to the ring and then starts pounding on Cena.
Yeah.
You know, because aside from a little bit confusing, it's a little defeating. You know, you want that emotional betrayal more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Interesting thought.
No, yeah. No. I think the best way to do it is you have him come out, and if you could have got the tattoos on, even better. He comes down. He gives Cena the Rock Bottom, right? You have him get up on the turnbuckle and do the Rock pose, because at that point, the crowd's pretty much bought in hook, line, and sinker. And then you have him rip the skull cap off. Because then there's the, you know, everybody wants to see The Rock get a hold of Cena, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you get that moment where you've really gotten him biting in, and then there's the ultimate sort of emotional betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that would really work. They darkened his skin a little bit, didn't they? They had some heavy pancake makeup on him.
Oh my god, the budget for orange spray tan on this episode. Everyone in that Jersey Shore segment came out looking like a carrot.
Makes me wonder if they got a hold of Jeremy Borash's personal stash.
Well, I want to give you guys my opinions on this whole Cena Rock Miz thing. I think when we first saw it, we were like, you're taking focus away from the title match. What the fuck are you doing? And now that I see what they're doing with Miz coming out, this is what, the second week in a row? that he attacks Cena after Cena's been out attacking Rock on the microphone, on the stick. I think they're doing a really, really good slow burn, slow build. We were all talking about it, you know, myself included. I mean, what the hell are they doing? Yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, The Miz is making his presence known. And I think his final promo on the mic before fading to black was perfect. Rock, we haven't been properly introduced. I'm The Miz, and I'm the champ. I mean, again, it's going for subtlety, but in this case, I think the subtlety worked perfectly.
See, just because they're both so good on the mic, I'm looking forward more to the confrontation between Rock and Miz more than Rock and Cena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are good at independent promos, so, you know, we've seen them do that, you know, against each other. We've seen a really good rap from Cena and a really awful one.
Yeah.
And we've seen a tremendous promo from The Rock on his return. You know, that's all good because they can run that way. But I don't know if you gain anything by having them, you know, against each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, The Rock's going to be able to play off Cena, but I don't know if the inverse would work so well. Miz and Rock could be absolute solid gold in a segment.
I think that they could play well off of one another. The thing that you have to worry about with Rock and Cena necessarily is that if you're trying to get Cena over more, I don't think it's gonna work because people are gonna want to see Cena get his ass beat too much by The Rock to get properly involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think if your whole goal is to put Cena over more, I don't think that that'll necessarily work.
Well, having Cena and Rock square off and lead to some ultimate conclusion at WrestleMania is not going to do good for either one of them, really, in the long run. You're going to get the pop for The Rock, but then again, he's going to be gone by the end of May. I mean, he's sticking around for a little bit, but he's going to be gone by the end of May. Here's how you save this entire thing. Have the confrontation begin between Cena and Rock with the stare down, nose to nose. These guys have some real life heat with each other because of what Cena said about animosity. Yeah, there's a little real life animosity between these two guys. And it's going to play off really well. Have them stare down head to head. What saves the segment is The Miz continuing with his evolution as one of the ultimate opportunists in WWE, a la Edge a couple years ago, or up until a couple years ago, right? Like, let's face it, Edge was absolutely brilliant as the ultimate opportunist. I see Miz very, very quietly sneaking up on that and becoming the new opportunist, if you will. He takes the opportunity and punks them both out.
Well, you want to talk opportunists. Edge played that so well because he knew how to, as a character, he would work politics. He would find cheap ways of getting into matches or winning matches. You know, it was like a maximum outcome for minimum effort kind of thing. It was a very psychological and intelligent heel, whereas Miz is far more aggressive. If he's an opportunist, it's because he makes his own.
Well, that's perfectly fine, and that's a great way of distinguishing his character from Edge, and people with the eagle eye aren't going to say, oh, he's just a carbon copy of the same fucking thing you did 5 years ago, WWE. Nice job.
Exactly, Del Rio.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I was wondering if you'd pick up on that reference. Nice job, Omega. I'm proud of you. Yay, you get a hero cookie. It's in the mail. Shut up.
Nothing from you is ever in the mail.
Oh, I sent a business plan off in the mail the other day.
It's okay, the first thing you've sent off in what, 5-6 years?
Oh, no. I'm actually throwing stuff in the mailbox every day. That's a different story, however. Anyway.
yeah, the Express started running again.
There you go. Back to what we were talking about.
Alimony payments don't count, Tim.
I deliver those by hand. That way she can never say that she never gets them. And it's not alimony. It's child support. I don't owe her anything. So, but anyway, back to what we were talking about. I think, I can see this happening. I can see, Miz. I was about to call him Edge. Fuck, dude. I can see Miz, like you said, Omega, creating his own opportunity here by punking them both out when they have that, you know, that stare down that is inevitable at WrestleMania.
I don't think it'll go. I don't think you do that at that moment in time. It's not the proper way. Like, to me, it seems more or less like now they're trying to maybe build something between Miz and The Rock.
Yeah.
And I think the only way that you do that properly is you have The Rock cost Miz the title. Or, I take that back. You have Rock be the reason that Miz wins the title at Mania from, you know, and retains over Cena. Because that way you can go in with Miz and have Miz talk about how The Rock robbed him of his moment to you know, because what the Miz's main thing has always been that he's going to prove that he belongs. Nobody thinks he belongs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have The Rock interfere, even on Miz's behalf, it can work the opposite way as opposed to helping. You know, it would build a storyline. You could build a storyline between the Miz and The Rock off of it.
Well, I don't see The Rock, coming to the Miz's defense or anything like that. I see him ignoring the Miz completely as a non-entity, which would make it work even better. Now, The Rock is scheduled to be live in the arena March 28th, for Raw. Do you have Miz confront him face to face, or do you have Rock in the ring and then Miz shows up on the stage to cut on? Or do you not even bother going in that direction? What do you do?
I would say you don't bother.
The hard part is that now it's a three-way feud. So you have to address it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I could foresee this working is if, with the attacks that we've seen the last couple of weeks from Miz, and we'll probably see one now, this Monday night. The best way I can foresee this is to make him up to be such a heel in that time that it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing, where you have the stare down between The Rock and Cena. You have them going back and forth on the mic. I don't even say Miz stands to the stage. I say he takes it right down to the ring. Show him to be aggressive and in Cena's face going up to WrestleMania. But it would have to end Raw on the double team of Miz. Because at this point, Cena is being made to look so weak, he would need that last bump before Mania to convince you that he could win the belt.
Well, I don't know. I see Miz coming out, cutting a promo tomorrow night, and then Cena getting that bump then. And then you don't have either one of them in the same place at the same time when The Rock comes out on the 28th of March.
I don't know. I really don't. Eventually, though, we'll all find out, won't we?
Yeah, this is true. The one thing is for sure, WWE may be stumbling and bumbling just the tiniest little bit with this, but they're doing enough right that they've got people talking about it. And that's what you want heading into your biggest show of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I think they succeeded. Omega?
Yeah, this is working for me so far.
Okay. So, now, that being said, time to move on. Speaking about The Rock, he was asked about how much of his old ring outfits he still owns. He commented that he still owns all of them. It's still with him in his house, and it's never going away because he knew one day he would use it again. And he was then asked, does that mean you're coming back to fight as well? When The Rock answered, making movies is something I love to do. I know it brings a lot of people joy, which in turn just brings me and my soul great gratification. Being in the ring and entertaining the audience and kicking ass physically brings me and my soul great gratification as well. I can guarantee that I can always do both. Is this a politician's answer or what, Omega?
I do have to admire the wordplay that goes on in the answer that doesn't actually answer anything.
Well, yeah, exactly. That was a lot of fucking talking with nothing being said.
Yep. Make a great lawyer someday.
There you go. What do you think, Spug? Is this all just hype and circumstance and then he's going to fade away again? Or are we going to actually see him in action in the ring a couple of times before he goes back to Hollyweird?
I think you'll probably see him in the ring a couple of times before he goes back to Hollywood.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that the one thing that you might be able to take away from this is that there's probably going to be a program between him and either Miz and between him and Miz or him and Cena.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't have a problem with the slightest.
One way or the other. Okay. Well, I don't know. If Dwayne Johnson decides he wants to get in the ring once or twice, well, good for him. But if that ever happens, let's hope it's The Rock and not Dwayne Johnson playing The Rock.
Which would be a hilarious way for the announcer to bill him.
Dwayne Johnson as The Rock. Now making his way to the ring from Hollywood, California. That'd be great at a house show. You know they wouldn't do it on TV.
And tonight, playing the part of The Rock.
Yeah. Well, they've done some pretty funny stuff at house shows in recent years that'll never make television. So,
see, if they wanted to turn Rock into a Hollywood heel, when they tried to turn Rock into a Hollywood heel, that's how they should have done it. It should have been Dwayne Johnson playing The Rock.
Well, that would have been an interesting way to go, definitely. But I don't think they want him as a heel. So.
Well, I mean back when they tried it before, when he came back from the Scorpion King.
Yeah. That would have been funny. But he was still called The Rock, with Scorpion King. He didn't drop The Rock until after, what was that second movie he did?
Walking Tall.
No, before that. There was before Walking Tall. Had a cameo with Schwarzenegger in it, where Schwarzenegger tells him to have fun.
Oh, the passing of the torch, that didn't work.
Yeah, no, The Goods. Wasn't it The Goods?
No. The Rundown?
That's it, The Rundown. The Goods, The Rundown, whatever. Just give me The Rundown. Yeah. But he was still called The Rock up until that movie. He didn't really drop it until afterwards, did he?
It was slow. It was The Rock, then Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, now just Dwayne.
Yeah. Yeah, he dropped the Rock so he could gay it up as Dwayne and be cool and dressing up as a tooth fairy.
Oh, and they got in trouble for making those remarks.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It's coming up in the news and the notes. But moving on, WWE Fatal 4-Way is renamed to Capital Punishment. Omega.
What happened to Armageddon and Vengeance? Why does everything need to have a clicky, catchy, gimmicky name. I'm thrilled.
You can evolve or you die.
I'm thrilled that they actually, like, okay, Fatal 4-Way is just like, it's idiotic to make Fatal 4-Way a gimmick pay-per-view in the first place.
Yeah.
But I am glad that I'm glad that it's a generic name, because that means there is nothing forced or crowbarred into it, unless Capital Punishment means that everyone in the main event is going to be dressed up as, you know, former presidents.
Oh, I was just thinking that it'd be an electric chair match a la WCW.
Oh God.
You remember that when they had to like, whenever they touched the thing and they had to like shake like they were being electrocuted?
Boo.
I just thought it was like, Shockmaster Funny Bad. Oh, or that Shockmaster Bad Funny. You know what I mean.
You know, there's so many wrong directions to take that in. Let's move on here.
Yeah, I guess we'd better.
Just keep going.
Yeah, I think I'm still of the opinion they need to cut down to 8 pay-per-views a year maximum. And TNA should only have 2. Yeah, TNA should only have 2 and WWE only needs 8. They get
TNA
a lot higher buy rate that way.
Any.
Yeah, you might have a point there, Spug.
No. TNA should have a pay-per-view every week, because that's when it was awesome.
Oh, you're right. $4.95 on Wednesday. That's when TNA was good, when you had to pay $5 a week. All right, yeah, moving on. WWE has discussed dropping a good amount of lower card talent after WrestleMania as a cost-cutting move after their poor financial quarters. Loss of superstars would certainly make a lot of those talents much more expendable to management. Where do we go from here?
Depends on who you're dropping.
Yoshitatsu and Zack Ryder go to the unemployment line.
Yeah, you figure Zack Ryder's days are numbered.
No more O Radio. I think with the cancellation of superstars, pretty much everyone who mainlines that show is gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I see the lesser talent being let go, but yeah, Rock asked the question, what does this mean for the Hurts? That's a good question. When was the last time we saw them on WWE programming, really?
That wasn't superstars.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I hate to say it, but they'll be gone.
They might wind up going back down to FCW. I honestly, seriously, don't see them being released anytime too soon.
What have they done?
What have they been able to do?
All right, this isn't me bashing the Hards or bashing Canada. I'm making a legitimate question.
Okay.
Since they broke up the tag team,
which was stupid, by the way.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but you know WWE. They don't have a tag team division. The only thing that group has managed to do is get over Natalya. That's it. So what has TJ and Harry done? Nothing. The best thing that Harry could do to get over and keep himself in that company is reinvent himself as the new British Bulldog.
Yeah. Well, don't call himself the British Bulldog. Can he get away with calling himself the Bulldog? What about the Canadian Bulldog? Could he do that? Come out with the Canada flag tights as opposed to the Union Jack tights? Would that work?
He could come out with the Union Jack tights and he'd get over just fine.
Well, because he's Canadian and not British, right? My thinking is, what if they combined the two flags on his tights?
I don't necessarily think that would get over it unless you're trying to plan him out as a heel. If you have him, because the last time I saw him, his hair was considerably longer than it was when he first got into WWE. Put the braided cornrows in with the braids. You put the beads on the end of the braids. You give him the Union Jack tights, and you have him come out there paying homage to his dad. You do the power slam. You do that, and it gets over. And well, yeah. from there, you can morph him into what he wants, you know, into what you want him to do.
Yeah, well, he was already doing the running power bomb, power slam. You do realize that those cornrows, that was like a hairpiece, right?
Still, I mean, you could do that with him.
Omega, say it, what you just typed.
The half and half flag tights, they wouldn't work, because then you've got his left nut that's Canadian, his right nut that's British.
Yeah.
Then his junk is the border.
Well, keep in mind, guys, that Canada happens to be a Commonwealth country. You know what I'm saying, Omega?
It's owned by the Brits.
You understand that, right? Until we got the Canadian Constitution, which was before that, it was called the British North America Act, and it was held in England. The Queen still is in absentia. She's still our Governor General, right? And technically, but not really, we're still you know British subjects. That doesn't mean we don't need a passport to go to England, but because we do. But so there's very little difference between Britain and Canada, except for the accents. Our government is basically set up the same, everything. So, I guess looking at it that way, technically British Bulldog would still work, even though he's not British, and that would be too much of a ripoff.
It doesn't, it's not a bad thing that it is.
No.
It could be the British Commonwealth Bulldog.
It's not a bad thing that it is a ripoff. That's not the point. If you want to get Harry over, the best way to do it would be to quote unquote pay homage to his dad.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much, you know, as much as I love Harry and he's a great kid and, I've always enjoyed, spending time with him when he was still in Calgary here. The one person that I would be very disappointed if they do let go never mind the stupid haircut. It's Tyson Kidd. This guy, none of you who, don't know any of his work away from WWE has seen what he is capable of doing. I mean, he's, Sin Cara, and young Rey Mysterio, the Canadian version. He's just absolutely out of this world. You combine those two guys with the Dynamite Kid and, Chris Benoit, and you've got Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson. He is unbelievably phenomenal. Not only that, it's a cheap way of getting things over for Vince, but it's still something I could see him do. He is credited as being the last man ever trained in Stu Hart's dungeon. If they let him be who he is, the guy would be so over, he'd be out of sight. And I don't mean to sound like a fanboy or anything like that. It's just, you know, I know what he's capable of because, hell, I've seen it live in person, and it's just unbelievable. You know, we talk about how much better Owen Hart was as a wrestler than Bret, and I'm the first one to say that. But at the same time, I'm also the first one to say you guys have never experienced Owen Hart the way he was outside, you know, before WWE. So letting Tyson Kidd go, I think, might be a huge mistake, Omega.
Yeah, he's got so much potential as a wrestler and as a technician, which WWE has painfully few of those these days, or borderline, or damn near none, I would say.
Pretty much.
It'd be a shame to waste him, especially because, I mean, as a tag team. I mean, the Hart Dynasty was doing great, you know, and then it was one of those things where, well, you know, wouldn't it be neat to break them up? Okay, we broke them up. What now?
Have them fight each other.
Didn't even do that right.
Yeah, no, they didn't do it right, so.
No, Tyson comes out, he's got this big bodyguard, and then 2 weeks later, you never see him again.
Yeah. You know what? Wrestling Fanatic in the chat room. I know you guys aren't in the chat room, but he brings up an interesting point. How about make him the anti-sports entertainer? Come out with the gimmick. He's a wrestler of the purest form, and he's here to win, not to entertain people. Would that work? Would a gimmick like that get over?
Brian Danielson.
Danielson, Benoit, it's worked before.
So why couldn't it work with him now?
Because he's not the right type of wrestler, Tim.
Well,
WWE frowns upon the high flyers.
Yeah. Well, Tyson Kidd has...
Which amazes me that they signed Mystico.
Yeah, true. True. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the ring as opposed to, you know, having to scour the internet to catch matches of his. But at the same time, I know it's going to be disappointing from what I have basically been, accustomed to expecting. We're not going to get to see absolutely everything he's capable of doing because he's going to tell, you know, you got to cut it back because this is how we do it in WWE. And that's exactly what they do in WWE.
Unless they start to build up, you know, their own style of X Division again.
Maybe not bring back the cruiserweight belt, but use the IC title for it.
No, you could bring back the cruiserweight belt. You really could, because if you unify the United States and IC titles,
I wouldn't even say that. I mean, you could still have the mid-card titles because I feel that both brands would need one if they're both brands are going to have a world champion. But well, if you work it the way it used to be, where the women's division was exclusive to one brand, the cruiserweights were exclusive to another, you could balance it out that way too.
Well, yeah, but the rumor is, don't forget, Omega, that they're unifying all the separate belts in the upcoming months. They've already done it with the tag titles. They're planning on doing it with the U.S. and the IC title. And
except we heard that plan was to build up to unifying all belts by WrestleMania, culminating in the world titles at the show, which all of that got stopped.
All of that got stopped. It's on the back burner. That doesn't mean that it's over and done with. The plan is still to do it. They just, remember, plans change, right? It is still going to happen. It's just not going to happen when they thought it was going to happen. You know, and that's one thing about WWE. Take a look at their history. They are notorious for changing plans, almost, sometimes literally at the last, you know, at the 11 o'clock hour.
They
always wind up coming back to all of these things we hear that they're rumored to be doing. It still happens.
I don't want to say I would be amazed if they unified a set of the belts at Mania. Because I still think that the IC and US belts are going to unify at Mania. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But
do they have a US and IC match, separate matches at Mania, set up yet?
I don't believe so.
Danielson lost the US Championship. I forget who he lost it to.
Right, which probably means he's on the chopping block.
Okay. And he shouldn't be. He's definitely one of the
people. And I don't see him on the chopping block because they've been actively using him.
Okay, what else are you going to do with him?
You're not going to put him on the chopping block because WWE put a lot behind him, especially going through all that trouble to make it look like he was fired, only to have him be the big hero for, this big match against the Nexus.
Right.
You have so many guys that are so much more on the chopping block right now. You know, you didn't even think of, you know, Zack Ryder unless someone just happened to mention him in the production chat.
Yeah, Ryder's definitely gone. But all of this talent that is rumored to be getting their final paychecks and getting future endeavored. Tony in the chat room is saying they'll just all wind up in TNA. I don't think so. TNA is extremely cash strapped right now. I can't see them bringing in all of this talent. Maybe they'll pick and choose a few of them and say, okay, we're paying you on a, you know, work to scale basis, you know, like, pay per appearance or whatever. But not under any kind of, contract, like the Hardys and RVD and those guys have.
I'll tell you who's probably gone are the Usos.
Yeah. Because if they had any staying power, wouldn't they have broken them up by now?
If they had any staying power, they'd have one person making a noise when they came out.
Yeah. Do you see Tamina getting cut, or is she sticking around too?
Tamina, I'd say, is sticking around a little bit. She's actually has a use at this point that can actually be seen.
She's actually got some kind of a personality, and they're using it. Santino. And Santino, they're not going to get rid of him. The guy is
gold.
Exactly. He's gold. He's way too valuable to drop.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the rosters right now. I mean, Primo is still getting a paycheck. Who wouldn't miss Primo?
Who?
Exactly.
Yeah. That was my point. But no, you're absolutely correct. Tell you what, why don't we take our second time out of the night? And come back, and we'll get into the rest of this and then finish the night off. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk, right here on the Wild Talk. Whether or that work, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back!
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son that you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make Steve turn blue?
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing. But there was a contest one time.
Liar.
Him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. He was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way. Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes. or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you got to do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Your time is up. That's it. That's all there is to it. Shut up, John Cena. Don't want to hear you rapping. I can't see you because I don't want to look at you. Shut up. Go away. Just go away, John Cena. No more of your rap music. That stuff's just bad, Omega.
Wow. You sure told him.
Yeah.
That was some mad freestyling dog.
Dude, he's a yabba dabba bitch, man. Rock is just biting his tongue right now, I can tell. He's like, I'm not gonna fucking say it. I gotta fucking say it. Don't you dare fucking play it. I'm not gonna fucking say it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I tried rapping once and discovered the best rapping I do is Christmas presents. And even that I'm half-assed at because I can't be bothered. You know what I mean? I put the shit in a paper bag and wrap the paper bag around the shit and then tape it so it doesn't spring open.
This is why you fail.
What the fuck was that? Was that supposed to be you doing Yoda?
No.
No? Can you do Yoda?
No. I don't even try to do things I can't do, Tim. You should take a lesson from that.
Like, no, fuck. No, fuck, man. You gotta keep trying no matter what. Omega, can you do Yoda?
No.
You can't do Yoda?
No, I can't do Yoda.
You can't do Yoda? What can't you do Yoda?
I have no vocal range whatsoever.
Tim,
you hear this?
Just
this
stop.
Is what I do.
See, I could, if I really put my mind to it, I could do Yoda's voice.
Do Yoda in the Star Wars parody porn.
Oh, what would you call him? What would Yoda's porn name be? Okay, that's everybody's mission in the chat room for tonight, is come up with Yoda's porn name. And
have fun getting to sleep tonight.
Yeah, and we'll pick the best one that's listed in chat. By the way, shout out to the Midnight Man and his lovely lady, Patty, tuned in. And I know a couple of things. All I'm going to say, Midnight Man, Patty, remember, be careful, you guys. Don't forget, Spug actually conceived Madison during one of these internet webcasts. That's all I'm going to say.
If people are having sex to my voice, you have fucking issues.
Hey, man, who's got issues, Spug? You were doing the nasty while JSK was talking.
Dude's actually got some dulcet tones to his voice, though. That's all I must
say.
Yes,
he also had the penchant for the phrase, you sure got a pretty mouth.
Sure, hey, what do you think I said to my wife before I jammed it down her throat?
That's not how pregnancy works, Bug.
Oh, that reminds me of a joke I heard. Can I, Omega?
If you think you can.
I gotta. So like this lady's giving birth and she's in the delivery room and her husband's there and she's just giving him shit and this is how my earbud. It hurts really bad. Yeah, you know, it's just whining and bitching and moaning and complaining. Her husband says, you know, I seem to recall sometime around 9 months ago I suggested putting it somewhere else, but you said, no, that would hurt too much.
See, ladies.
I did it. I made Spug laugh on air.
See, ladies, anal sex isn't that bad.
Omega, mission accomplished.
Okay, you get a gold star, Tim.
Okay, that's all I wanted. I'm happy now. I got a gold star in my notebook. Alrighty then.
I can scratch it. It smells like grapes.
Ew! Okay, there's just a bunch of nastiness going on there. I'm not even going to get close. Forget it. For fucking get it. Guys, the Wrestling Observer is reporting there could be a change to a main card match over the next few days.
Really?
Let the speculation begin. I do believe we are referring to WrestleMania, one of their main matches, one of their main cards matches.
No, we're referring to Lockdown.
I was thinking maybe it's Capital Punishment. Maybe they decided to change the name again and call it Corporal Punishment. Where, you know, you're in a cage and if you lose, you got to sit in the corner for 10 minutes. Have a timeout.
Dunce cap on.
Yeah.
No, no.
See, that's a WCW Russo match right there. Put your opponent in the corner match. If you can keep him there for the count of 10 with the dunce cap on, you win.
Oh, man. I tell you, that's not quite got the same jump as the four corner match.
Quite, no.
Or all corners match, depending on how you want to call it. Yeah, I don't think it has the same spunk. Oh, shit. Can we say that word without spunk?
No. No. Okay.
I guess we better not use that word anymore.
No.
You're just worried about Spug saying something, aren't you?
I worry about Spug saying all kinds of things.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say anything right now because I know all about it, and that's all I'm going to tell you.
Spunk on your face, I must.
So you decided 10 minutes afterwards to fucking go there.
It took him that long to work up to it. That's a hard voice.
Hard voice it is. You cannot do it. Hmm?
No. The moment you said spunk, I went, Yoda,
swing.
All right, I got it.
Okay. You see? Everybody's got a price. We know Spugs. You want to do Yoda's voice? Just talk about porn. Which has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling. However,
thank God for that.
However, how's this for a segue that's going to get us a lot of hate mail? The Gay and Lesbian Anti-Defamation Defense League issued a statement announcing WWE will be working with GLAAD to create and promote an anti-bullying initiative and also offered GLAAD the opportunity to conduct trainings, sensitivity training, don't you know, for their staff of writers and editors. The issue came up after John Cena used gay remark towards The Rock and The Miz on Raw, something GLAAD wasn't glad about.
What did he say?
Well, we're referring to something about sashaying it up in the movie Too Cool and then wearing a tutu and playing a fairy.
Okay. Yes or no? The Rock played a gay man in the movie Too Cool. Or B.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes or no? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes or no? He played a fairy in The Tooth Fairy.
Yes,
exactly.
He played a tooth fairy. Now see, here's the delineating difference, guys. You can play a fag, you just can't be called a fag.
Is Shane Cox a member of GLAAD?
Why don't you officially ask your email nemesis?
That would require effort, my friend.
Well, I think we kind of sort of did. I don't think Shane Cox listens to this show.
He may not listen to OWW radio anymore either. After the way I lambasted him on Tuesday.
How much fucking sleep you gonna lose over that one, baby? I don't think it'd be none, you know what I'm saying to you?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Bitch, don't nobody understand the words coming out of your mouth. Sorry, Rush Hour's on.
You know,
this is the same kind of crap that gets pulled all the time with groups that are, I understand groups that are sensitive and defensive against that, against, you know, homosexuals, yep, lesbians. Okay, fine. I support that. When you are overly sensitive, you know, you go into that realm of crazy where, you know, right in there with like the feminist league that wants the thing in the ground to be called a person hole cover.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't even use the word person anymore because of the last three letters delineates the male gender. It has to be per one. So instead of woman, it's woo per one, not woo person, but woo per one. Get it?
Woo again, per one. Again, it's a manhole cover, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, and it's older, not older person. And it's chairman, not chairperson. Just like it's human, not you person.
Last time I fucking checked, me personally, last time I fucking checked, the individuals going down into the sewers, 9 out of 10 times, were men!
There you go!
That's the kind of shit you hear on David Letterperson.
Thanks, Omega, I appreciate that. The only problem with that, Spug, it's men who go down into the sewers because it's the men who do that dirty job and the women wouldn't be fussed doing it. The only thing is, it's more than men that walk on the streets that could fall into the hole. You see the rationalization?
This whole thing with GLAAD.
Oh, wait a sec. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rant Time on WTR Sunday Night. Now, here is the Spud guy.
I'm not gonna rant. It's a valid point.
Uh huh.
Look, I was a member of an anti-hate group in Cleveland. I still have membership in it. I don't go protest. I don't go to festivals and pass out flyers and sit at a booth anymore. Everybody has their rights to you know. When our founding fathers formed this nation, they didn't, in the Constitution, they didn't state only white men can seek liberty, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we've taken it too fucking far. When you want to change things like manhole cover to person cover. Mm-hmm. When you want, you know, it's wrestling for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
It's professional wrestling. There is a certain amount of common sense that should come into play here.
Yeah.
When you hear the words professional wrestler and insult.
Well, as far as professional wrestling goes, do you know of another form of entertainment, sports or otherwise, that is so gay friendly yet full of so many homophobic people? Because let's face it, whether you're going to see it actually manifest itself publicly or not, there are a lot of guys in the locker room who are really anti-fag. And yeah, I am being politically fucking incorrect because I don't believe in that bullshit.
Tim?
I don't care if you're straight, gay, bi, that's your decision. I mean, be happy with yourself. I don't care one way or the other.
There's a lot of people, and spoiler, shocker, if you don't want to hear it, turn off your radio. There's a lot of people in a wrestling locker room who are actually gay.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, there's two sides to that coin. There are a lot of professional wrestlers who happen to be gay. There are also a lot involved in professional wrestling who are closet homophobes. Now, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't think that you need to say nasty things about somebody just because of their that persuasion. You don't need to call them a fudge packer. Okay, that's derogatory right there. And I know somebody who used to work in WWF. He worked a gimmick that was originated by somebody else, and that's as close as I'm going to get. There might be two people listening who are able to paint by the numbers and figure out who I'm talking about that I'm not referring to. But he is, as far as he's concerned, he's an avowed Christian with avowed Christian beliefs, and he is very, very anti-homosexual. He will use derogatory terms for gay people.
That's fine. That's his prerogative. I kind of know who you're talking about.
Well, no, it wouldn't be you who would know.
Are you sure? It's not the individual I'm thinking of?
Oh, I thought you said you didn't know.
No, I said I did know.
Okay, well, read the Skype chat and tell me, is that who you were thinking? Just yes or no? Yep. Okay, that's it. Yeah, you're right. So,
right. That I am an avowed Christian.
Yeah.
But, there's, and we're going to get into a whole area of WTR that I don't want to get into. But
well,
I'm trying to do it delicately.
Yeah.
You're born that way. Plain and simple. It's not a choice.
I'm gonna throw this out just to be a smart ass. You know what? If you're a woman, it's a choice. If you're a guy, it's not.
Okay, I know lesbians that would so disagree with that.
I know, I'm just saying that just to get on somebody's nerves because I know she's gonna listen to the archives and I'm just, messing with her.
You're mean.
I know, but I'm mean in such a nice way. Go ahead, Spug.
The thing though, Tim, is that, you're born that way. You don't choose that lifestyle. Because if you can tell me an individual who actively sits down and says, you know what? I want to be persecuted, discriminated against, and hated by a majority of people every day of my life because of the person I choose to be with. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the lifestyle for me.
Well, here's the thing, right? That's just it. They don't choose to be that person. Like you said, Spug, that's how they're born. It's not a choice. That's where all of these people are going wrong. I am definitely, I'm not a homophobe. I'm not anti-gay or lesbian. I know a lot of people of that, I don't know, can we say that persuasion?
Oh, yeah.
Who are, if they were straight, they would be they would sound like the biggest homophobes on the fucking planet the way they talk about it. And they're all, they're just kidding around. And it's gotten to the point where, people of the African American persuasion are allowed to say the N-word, whereas everybody else. I'm deadly.
African American persuasion.
Well, they're born that way. They can't help it.
No. All right.
I want to clarify. Before we go any further, I just want to clarify. I'm just making light of it. I'm not saying anything to anybody, any of our listeners who happen to be African American. I'm not being racist or nasty about it. I'm just, I'm playing.
Some of my really good friends, are gay.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear them talk, you would think that they sit around in their living room in white hoods and burn crosses for a living. I'm serious. I kid you not. One of my best friends, Josh, the other day, we're sitting there,
yeah,
and he is the straightest gay guy I know. Straightest gay guy. The dude can rip apart a car motor blindfolded and in his sleep. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But you walk into a mall and he's like, I want to put my mouth around that. And you're like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But we're sitting there the other day and we're bullshitting and Seacrest came on the TV. And he goes, dude, look at him. He's such a fucking fag. I want to kick his teeth in. And I'm like, oh my God, you're gay. You're not allowed to say those things about a fellow member of your community.
So you know exactly what I was talking about when I said what I said.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. And it's hilarious when you get going. I mean, like, you know, I'm not going to do the voice because I know Rock will turn it into a fucking clip, but.
Do
you
the
know,
voice. Do the voice, Tim.
I'm not going to do the voice. I'm
do
not
the
going
voice.
To, I'm not,
do
no.
the voice.
No! I'm not going to do the voice. I ain't done it!
Listen, Tweety, this is the gay voice. Don't start, no, girlfriend.
No, okay, you bastard.
And we win.
Cocksucker. Oh, wait, no, I can't do that because you might be thinking I'm accusing you of being gay.
Whoa.
Anyway, this whole long diatribe, ladies and gentlemen, just basically brings it right back to the point that GLAAD is a little oversensitive. Nut the fuck up, for crying out loud. It was it was harmless.
I would like to point out, this is the worst thing GLAAD has done to wrestling since taking back the gravy boat from Billy and Chuck.
I'm not even. Spud, please do me a favor and imitate Ron Simmons right now. I need it.
Hold on, that was good.
Come on, do the Ron Simmons voice. You know what I'm talking about.
Hold on, that was really a good joke.
Damn.
I don't.
That's what I wanted.
I suppose they took the ladle too. Do you think?
Oh, God. Well, if it took the gravy boat, why wouldn't they take the ladle?
Because you can use the ladle for other things.
Whoa!
Winning.
Charlie Sheen always makes it better.
Charlie Sheen makes everything better.
But that wasn't Charlie.
It didn't make OTL on.
Was that the Don?
Yeah, it was the Don.
That was Donald Trump. All right. Well, he's just, you know, he's a good substitute. He's an adequate substitute.
And just one other question: you guys were talking about the African American persuasion. Would they get in trouble if they heard Vince say,
"Keep it up, I'm a nigga"?
Forgot about that.
Okay, for that particular clip, please send emails to rock@wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, I won't get those. It's rockandsuck@wildtalkradio.com.
Thanks. I knew that you would give them the right one.
Jeez. Didn't hear the NAACP up in arms about that one.
No, you didn't. I mean, nobody bitched and complained when Jackie Chan used the word in that movie. You know, Rush Hour. What's up, my...
I love how Tim's like all like tentative about saying
No, I was like Jackie Chan said, that's the way he said it in the movie. To this day I'm trying to figure out what a Nika is.
It's a misspelled 90s.
You can come to my crib, I will show you my hood.
Yeah, you come to my crib, I show you my hood. Never touch a Chinese man video. Okay, now we have over a billion people pissed off at us.
For shizzle. For Shawn Michaels.
Where's Stan when you need him? Holy fuck, where is Stan when you need him?
I forgot about that clip from Shawn.
That was Hunter.
Was that Hunter?
This is Shawn. Was...
HB Shizzle!
That's HB Shizzle. That's...
For Shizzle. HB Shizzle!
Yeah, so there you go. There's the two.
Yeah. Like I said, where's Stan when you need him, Rock?
I don't have that one clipped fully.
Damn! What's your name, Stan? Smack! I just kicked Stan!
I just kicked Stan!
I love that part.
That was great. What's your name, Stan? Smack! Look, I just kicked Stan!
I feel worse for the poor sap down the hallway with those papers flying everywhere.
Oh shit! At least we brought wrestling into this somehow.
Thank the gravy boat.
There you go. It's all, yeah, it's all your fault with the gravy boat, Omega. Speaking about gravy boat, did you hear about John Cena?
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Holy transition, Batman.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not a segue. This is like a hard cut. John Cena suffered a concussion last Monday on Raw.
Did you see the way his head bounced off of everything?
It was literally bouncing off of everything.
The sad thing is they thought it was the mic shots that did it to him.
Yeah, well, no, that's what he was saying. It could have been the mic shots. Yeah, well, okay, whatever. I mean...
Oh, yeah, okay. What about that diamond plate steel you smacked into? You don't think that could have done anything, do you?
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. No, it was the microphone with a big, big soft top on it.
Mace.
Where are you, Mace?
The bottom of it.
Oh, wait, Mace is listening to the podcast right now. Should we say anything to him?
Fuck you.
I get your seat.
Your chair is real comfortable.
it's the stereotype seat, you know, it's got kangaroo leather on it.
Yeah, we need a new original fucking foreign kid. That's what we need.
Yeah.
I know what, Tony O. Kidding.
No.
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 Never again. No.
We could always go get us Nick.
No, we can't. No, we can't.
Why can't we?
Long story, we'll talk about it later.
Brain cells, my friend.
Yeah, getting back to John Cena's concussion, apparently it was a very minor, mild concussion. He was ready to go for Friday. He'll be on Raw on Monday. Just don't expect him to be in any kind of action at all whatsoever until WrestleMania. But here's the thing. Apparently they have to pass a certain kind of exam to show that they're all right. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's called an impact exam. And I'm thinking, as soon as I heard this, my first thought is what? They got to watch an episode of TNA, and if they think it's good, they can't wrestle the next week. That's the thought that hit me. What, if they say, oh, man, that sucks, then, yeah, you're good. Go back out and face The Miz again.
Oh, man, that was a great match between Hardy and Sting. Go away.
Yeah, okay. 12 weeks convalescence. You know what's really scary, seeing as they're talking about TNA? According to his Twitter page, Hulk Hogan is now on the TNA creative team.
The head of creative. He just took over creative.
That's what I said.
You said really part of the team. He's now in charge of the whole thing.
Well, that's part of the team. He's now on the creative team, in charge of it.
What?
Rock, go look at Jamal's Facebook page.
Oh, no.
Look at the profile picture he has.
What has Jamal done now?
Oh, no. Oh, my. Moving on, we shall, as he just randomly plays.
Muzzles off!
I can't do that.
It's a picture of Rosa Parks, and it says, I gotta make my mind up. Which seat can I take?
Oh, boy.
and I'm the racist Shane Cox of Des Moines, Iowa.
Speaking about people out of control, there was a news bit about China.
I saw that, dude.
Tim?
Yeah, she told TMZ Snooki's trying to make a joke out of wrestling. China said this? Really?
Oh, no.
China? Really? She added she'd return to pro wrestling to face Snooki and even stated she'd face the NTV star in a fellow cast member of the situation in a three-way match.
Please shut up.
No, you know what? I support this, if only because I want the situation in a neck brace for the next few years.
They still haven't released everything he said on the Donald Trump roast.
I heard it was bad.
I meant to catch it on a third replay that I saw, and I don't know if it was just serendipity or what, but for some reason I just got completely occupied the whole time it was on, and by the time he was done, you know, I just noticed. It's like, oh wait, the situation was doing his horrible stand-up routine.
And to that I say,
you're not ready for a stage! Try practicing in a closet first!
Okay, now we're back to the gay slurs.
The sad thing is that sounded like Tim.
What? You!
It did. It sounded like Tim.
Okay, you know what? We've got a couple of things left to do here, and we're never going to get the show done in time, so we're going to skip the rest of the news stories and go right straight to the great debate.
I can't wait.
No fancy intro, so just go right to it.
No fancy intro. So here it is. It's the greatest ring entrances of all time. Now, are you ready for this? What, are we doing all of these in one shot, Rock?
Yeah, because then there's another set next week. Just go.
Oh, my God. Okay, are you ready? Here's round one. Is Taker versus Kane, Flair versus Hogan, Angle versus Goldust, and Goldberg versus Warrior. Now, my question, Goldberg, is it WCW Goldberg or WWA Goldberg?
It's overall.
Ah, okay.
Overall.
Wasn't much difference, I guess. Okay, so starting Taker versus Kane, and we'll go to Omega.
You know, I don't think there's a challenge here. Kane has an awesome intro with the massive explosions of fire, the red light. It's very much in character and intimidating, but I really don't think you match the atmosphere and the chill that comes through with Undertaker's entrance. That's an all-time classic.
Okay, Spug.
It's Taker all the way in this one. I mean, Kane has an intimidating entrance, but, you know, Kane's first entrance when he came in and he ripped off the cage doorway to the Hell in a Cell and the fire shot up doesn't compare to the first time Taker rode out. He rode out on the back of a hearse.
And made all the kiddies in the audience cry.
Cry.
Yep.
The dude has had some of the most amazing and intimidating entrances. My favorite one by far that they copy to this day, and they don't, you know, do anything further with, is the WrestleMania 14 entrance.
Yeah.
They played O Fortuna, I think is the name of the song by Mozart.
O Fortuna, which is part of his Requiem for the Dead piece.
Right. The druids come out and they're holding the torches and they make the aisle way and then the lights go black and a single bolt of lightning comes down and hits the entranceway and oh my God. One of the best entrances I've ever seen.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you on that one. We've got an email entry on this one now. Just came in a few seconds ago. Email is by someone named Carl Smart. Who the hell is
Mace?
That? Who the hell is Carl Smart?
That would be Mace's real name.
Oh, you ding dong! You're not supposed to say that.
Play along here.
I'm not playing along. It's Mace.
Dumbass. Anyway, yeah, he picks Undertaker, and yeah, Undertaker hands down. I mean, I'm sorry, that is one of the best. Can you imagine the untold number of parents over the decade, two decades, who have had to deal with unaccountable nightmares because of Taker's entrance. Kane's standard entrance, a little freaky, it's not going to give your 5-year-old a screaming dream.
Not unless they're actually standing in front of the pyro.
Yeah, you know. There is that. So yeah, hands down.
That's gonna give you a hell of a hospital bill too.
There you go. Undertaker hands down, unanimous. Next one, we'll start with Spug, Flair versus Hogan.
Flair's entrance, Flair and Hogan's entrance are both fairly typical.
I mean, Flair had the piece from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
Hogan had Rick Derringer. And it's only in the past, I don't know, 10 years or so that I've really been able to appreciate Flair and what he's done. But Flair's gimmick and his ability, you know, his entrance was grand, you know, to use the term from Batman Forever, his entrance was, your entrance was good, his was better. Showmanship. Hogan had the showmanship. He came out, he was posing, waving the American flag, ripping the shirt off, and you had the music, you know, that the Rick Derringer behind him, it just, there was nothing better as a kid growing up, and even to this day I'll mark out, to a Hogan entrance.
Uh-huh. Omega!
The best part on a Hogan entrance, really, is how much he is capable of firing up the crowd. Because in his heyday, yeah, Hogan just radiated pure charisma. You know, he was the closest thing you had to a real-life superhero, which was the greatest thing about wrestling in the 80s, because you could have someone like that. But in the end, it is a very typical entrance. You know, and he was the first one to have an entrance with music, so of course his is the prototype and the original. However, Flair's is just grand. It accomplishes so much while doing so little, because he comes out, you know, and it doesn't even need to be like the modern one where there's pyro falling from the ceiling or anything and big spark showers flying behind him. When you're playing that 2001 Space Odyssey music, he's coming out, you know, calmly strutting out wearing this grand robe. There's a majesty to it. You know this man has greatness in him. He's absolutely just this, the purest form of, you know, an iconic wrestler. You know, it's simple. But in its simplicity, it finds a perfection, which tops Hogan's.
Okay, so you're for Flair. Well, Mace picks Hogan if it's real American, and I got to pick Hogan if it's real American, simply because of the way he was able to incite the crowd.
It's not just one theme song or another, Tim. I mean, it's the overall entrance. And yeah, Flair's did have a grandeur and a majesty to it. But I mean, even the NWO Hogan, he was able to incite the crowd in a completely different way than he had, you know, 10 years before when he was coming out and ripping off his shirt.
So with one dissenting vote, Hogan moves on. Next one, Kurt Angle versus Goldust. Omega.
Now, when I first saw this one, I thought it was pretty cut and dry, because you had Angle coming out with, okay, it's a pretty standard intro these days. You know, it's damn near the same one Edge uses. You know, he stops at the top of the ramp, he lets this enormous pyro shower go off. You know, and he marches down to the ring, you know, and other than doing that little arm out spinny thing once he gets in the ring, you know, Angle's entrances pretty much ended there. But what was awesome about Angle's entrance was how much the crowd was just, you know, on top of him with the "you suck" chants to the music. I mean, you want to talk about getting the crowd going. I mean, that was Angle's intro. I mean, without even doing anything, you know, "you suck, down, down, you suck." It's just, bump, bump. It was, you know, that's what made the entrance. But I'm going with Goldust because when the character was in his prime, that entrance with the Hollywood marquee special effects over it, the Goldust falling down, the gold lighting, you know, coming out in the robe and the wig.
You just like the entrance for Marlena.
That too.
Hey, she didn't she popularize the cigar before Monica Lewinsky? Look at Golden. He's on fire tonight.
When Gold back when Goldust was in his prime, that kind of entrance wasn't something you saw every day. You didn't have big gimmicky entrances. It made him stand out so much, and it got his character over so much. It matched his personality perfectly, and just to me, it's a more grand entrance than Angle had.
Yeah.
First of all, Tim, two jokes in a couple hour period does not a comedy career make. Just ask the situation.
No, but I'm on fire tonight, and that's all that fucking matters, so shut up. Did Mace have a pick for this one? Rock? Oh, God. If I can have your attention, please.
And I quote Kurt Angle.
And I quote what?
Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, my God. Really? Okay. Well, hey, shit. Oh, I'm sorry, Goldust, and yeah, part of it was Marlena.
Mace, you want to make a stipulation on this podcast while you're at it?
I gotta say, it's Goldust. Part of it's because of Marlena, but also, you know, it's the whole mystique of Shattered Dreams Pictures presents, and you got the gold paper coming down, the gold confetti, and the gold dust, and the gold lighting, and. And it was just the whole theatrical presentation. It was just, it was more a part of the match itself than, Angle just coming down to, you suck. So there we go.
And he was so Goldust. Damn creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, Goldust entrance, he was creepy. And inciting the crowd from the, Angle's entrance in TNA is not bad either. Yeah. I mean, he does have a good entrance, but to me, Goldust, it's just better. You know, you heard like the gong and then like the crystal shattering and stuff, and the arena went gold, and oh, it was great.
Yep. So there it is. Goldust moves on, kids. And the final one tonight: Goldberg versus Warrior. Spug.
I'm torn. I'm really torn.
Yep.
I mean, the Warrior's entrance was good because he hit the ring at a million miles an hour. He shook the ropes. He incited the crowd. You know, you knew he was there for one reason and was to whoop somebody's ass. But Goldberg, man, he'd come out. You see him march down the hallway with the security around him, almost like he was a caged animal. He'd stand at the top of the ramp, and those sparks are fucking hot.
Well, yep.
And he'd get him shot up his ass, you know, over his chest, and he'd snort out the smoke, and he'd walk down to the ring, and 45 seconds later, he'd walk back. But, you know... The music behind Goldberg, the music behind both was extremely appropriate for both gimmicks. Even the WWE version of Goldberg's music. They were both extremely appropriate. The thing with the Goldberg entrance is that when he... You didn't hear people in the arena... shouting and chanting Warrior in unison. You know, when you heard the opening march of Goldberg's music, that crowd in any arena, WWE, WCW, went fucking nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just enormously, you know, insane. And so for me, it's Goldberg. That right there.
Oh, that's a WWE version. Get that the fuck out of here.
That was the WCW.
That's the WCW version.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's WCW.
Like, it started off really low. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I didn't have it all the way up, so.
Okay, Omega.
This one is hard because, in a way, they both had entrances that basically did the same thing, just to let you know that the guy coming out to the ring was completely unstoppable. Difference being, yes, Warrior had a really exciting entrance, but it's one that would cost him. I mean, he's exciting when he comes out, but when he gets to the ring, yeah, he's so gassed. There's no way he's going to put on a good match. Essentially his intro comes down to the wrestling equivalent of a Chinese fire drill.
Yeah, pretty much.
Goldberg's entrance, I mean, it is so much about the atmosphere he builds up because, you know, you see him on the screen walking out with the security guards, and it's always this, like, you knew that Goldberg didn't need anyone to watch his back, because he could demolish anybody that would even have the balls to try it. So yeah. It was always a matter of, is the security guard protecting him for like the NWO, or are the guards protecting everyone else from Goldberg?
From Goldberg, yeah.
And so I said he had that caged animal look about him.
Yeah. And what was awesome about his entrance is the transformation, because he stands, he's got his head down the whole, he's got his head down, and he might, you know, raise his arms up a couple times, but, you know, he's down and he's stoic the entire time. Those sparks hit him, and yeah, it's intimidating as hell just to watch someone, okay, he's gonna do this to himself just to get himself psyched up for a match. He's gonna stand in the middle of a field of fire. And then the second it goes away and he erupts, you know, he starts screaming and throwing punches as he walks down to the ring. You know, just that total shift that you know that something unlocked in his head as soon as those sparks stopped. You knew. I mean, it was part of that character. You know, that it made you know that whoever was going into a match with was not coming out on their feet.
Yeah.
I tell you, the one thing I did hate about the Goldberg entrance towards the end in WCW and WWE was the kick.
Oh yeah, when he started throwing kicks, that was a little much.
Yeah. So we got Goldberg. Goldberg, what does Mace say in absentia?
Excuse me.
He would like to chime in and say Goldberg.
What did he say again, Rock?
He said, first he said,
Excuse me!
Yeah.
And then he said Goldberg.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that's what he said.
Disgusting bastards. Yeah, you know, I'm tossed up. With Warrior, I mean, his entrance was the best part of any match he had. So he's got that going for him. But Goldberg, you know, the second you heard that music, you knew that some poor locker was going to get the shit kicked out of it with a headbutt. And then somebody's ass was getting kicked 3 ways from Sunday, and that's all there was to it. You got to go with Goldberg.
So Taker, Hogan, Goldust, and Goldberg, move on?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's it. Next week, round two.
Which will be Stone Cold versus Hungy Tonk Man. The Gangsters versus the Legion of Doom.
Ooh.
Sabu versus Sandman. And the New Age Outlaws versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Oh.
Next week, okay. Great debate. Right here.
How did Honky Tonk Man make the list, Rock?
This is your list. This is your list.
How the fuck did Honky... What the fuck was I thinking?
Apparently some work.
Is The Rock on the list?
Nope.
How is The Rock not on the list?
This is your list that you sent me.
No. I don't think the Honky Tonk... I think The Rock is supposed to be on there over the Honky Tonk Man.
Why don't we discuss it after the show, and we might actually allow a substitution.
How the fuck is The Rock not on there, and the Honky Tonk Man is?
You put it on there. This is your list.
I'm going to blame the Percocet, because I came up with this the week I was out of surgery.
Okay, maybe it's the book. Yeah, but like I said, moving on, we'll talk about it
now. Kai and Tai versus Papa Shango.
Oh, Papa Shango for sure.
How the fuck did that, the honky tonk man?
Time for the last segment of the night. We call this one Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
And here it is. It's a really short quick hits because we don't have Mace to ask questions to. But don't even think about it.
Starting off
with Omega, you see how I just kind of keep talking over you. Starting off with Omega, what is your favorite moment in WCW history?
Favorite moment in WCW history?
Yeah.
I'm going to seem like the total Goldberg mark here, but it is the night that he beat Scott Hall and Hulk Hogan. Just because
It's
about as electric as WCW ever got.
There you go. Okay,
Hold on. The shameless plug is WCW night, Tuesday night, OWW Radio.
There you go. That's a nice shameless plug. All right.
See the time.
Spuck, what title has the most credibility in wrestling today?
Quite honestly, right now, probably up until Monday night, the U.S. title. Because it was actually on a wrestler.
Okay, there you go. So the U.S. title was the most credible wrestling up until last Monday in wrestling today. There you go. All right.
Omega.
Oh, my turn?
Yes.
Mr. Tim Stein.
What?
What would happen if you were trapped in a room for 24 hours with Vicky Guerrero? And no, you can't kill her.
I kill myself. I would kill myself. Since I can't kill Vicky, I will kill myself.
Taking the easy way out.
There you go. Omega, what is the bigger blunder of an idea? The situation doing comedy or Snooki wrestling at WrestleMania?
Oh, God. You have to ask me this?
Yes.
Yep.
Wait, what was the question again?
Here's the problem. Snooki at WrestleMania means I actually get to see Trish at WrestleMania again. So I can't vote against it. It's gotta be... No, it's the situation doing comedy. Great to make fun of, not to make funny.
Okay. Spug! What current TNA superstar would make the best cartoon character?
Mace isn't here, so I get asked the TNA question.
Yes.
Yep.
Eric Young.
Oh, fuck. I just pictured him drawing up his cartoon character in a comic book.
Eric Young, man.
Yeah, I remember the Super Eric immediately.
Yeah,
He'd be a great cartoon / comic book character.
That worked damn good. Okay, so there you go, Eric Young. All right, Spug, your turn.
Mr. Tim Stein, if there was a condom that best represented your personality...
Why do I get this question?
Because Mace isn't here. Fuck.
What type of condom would it be, and why?
Okay, repeat the entire question.
You know what? I like this. I'm sorry, Rock. I'm changing this a little bit.
Okay.
If you, Tim, were a condom, what type of condom would you be and why?
I'm going to do what everybody else who's had this question has done. I'm not fucking answering it.
Oh, lame, Tim. Come on, answer it.
No.
Base answer, so.
Nope.
Tim would be the fruity fun flavored.
I'd be ribbed for her pleasure. Okay, that's it. We're done. Let's get out of here.
Ribs for her pleasure. Trying very hard, but actually trying to compensate for something.
Tim would be the geriatric brand.
Fuck off.
One of the old ones still made of sheepskin.
just fuck right off. Seriously. Everybody, that's the show for tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget WCW Night on OWW Radio Tuesday. Black Eastern Omega. Talk about OTL.
OTL, Wednesday night at 9 here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I have no idea what's going on. We lost Mace too.
Everyone lost Mace.
And I had just gotten the new D&D night ready. Look at that.
Did you really? You lie.
He got it ready.
Let Mace just think that just for a little while.
Yeah, just until the archive's over.
Yeah.
Saturday night, check out CB Radio. It's going to be fun. Tune in. You never know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Tim. Check us out next Saturday, Sunday night, 10 p.m.
For crying out loud! I pulled a stud and muted my mic.
Good job.
And you guys are all saying, Tim, and I'm like, what?
Yes,
there's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rose Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Age is all catching right up to you, Tim.
You guys don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Get the fuck out. Good night.
And buy our stuff.